Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Neverland Podcast, episode 68.
Up to Neverland!
Like the start of the right, stay until morning. Neverland.
Good morning, Neverland!
All right, welcome back once again to the Neverland Podcast. I am, of course, the Pan, Jeremy. You can call me Spider Pan. I am here once again to remind you to get that pixie out of your pocket, shake some of that pixie dust around, get it spread around, grab the happiest thoughts you can, and fly along with me to Neverland one more time. We're going to have so much fun again. I have more audio to share with you from Planet Comic-Con event I attended here in Kansas City, Missouri just last week. Also, we're going to have a little bit of park news. We have some movie news and even some video game news. But before we get into that, I got to give you a few reminders. Please email us, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com, with comments about the show, things you'd like to share, which, by the way, make sure you visit neverlandpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and interact with us. We'd love it when you tweet to us during the show, after the show, any old time. Twitter.com/neverlandpodcast, or, well, actually, that's Neverland PCast. I need to update this in my notes. But yes, do remember to check us out on Twitter. If you just simply follow @NeverlandPCast, that's the main thing you have to remember right there, and you can find us. Facebook.com/NeverlandPodcast. That is our like group, if you will, and that's where I haven't been keeping very consistent sometimes, but we do have our Marvel Mondays, Turtle Tuesdays, Winning Wednesdays, things like that. We did a Winnie the Pooh Wednesday this week. We also have a Facebook group, which, of course, is facebook.com/groups/Neverland Podcast. The group is a little bit more of a guarantee that you're actually going to see things that get posted there, because Facebook's being a little funny with how they're doing things with liking groups, and they're even saying now that if you don't interact with something you like, they're going to pull you from it. So make sure you're interacting with me on there and you're checking out and liking things. Otherwise, they may just boot you off of there. You can leave us a voicemail, 816-226-6492. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. If there's something interesting you hear about or something you hear about on the show you want to make a comment on, feel free to call in. Keep it interesting, keep it fun, and keep it clean. Also, remember to join the Neverlanders if you haven't already. You can become a Lost Boy or a Pixie. Now, of course, you would have to ask the question, well, why aren't there Lost Girls? Well, girls are too clever. They don't get lost. So girls are Pixies. And so all you have to do is go to, on the website, neverlandpodcast.com. There's a little line up there in the top, and it says Neverlanders with an exclamation point. And if you click into that, it'll give you instructions on how you can join us. And of course, don't forget to donate through patreon.com. There'll be a link right there on our website. But if you go to patreon.com/neverlandpodcast, you can donate there. You help keep this show going. I'm also working on doing some updates to that site where I'm going to start giving producer credits to donors. Also, I'm going to start releasing some special audio only for people who are donors. In fact, with some of the audio I have today. I've condensed and edited it down, and I have enough for the show, but there's a lot of stuff, including last week. There's audio that I did not release to the main public, and so you'll be getting access to these audio files. Although, for some of the early downloads, I did accidentally use the wrong audio file of the Ming-Na Wen panel, and so I did end up releasing the entire panel, but I didn't adjust the audio, so the audio is a little loud and soft and loud and soft, and there was a little bit of language in there, and I do apologize for that, because I hadn't gotten a chance to edit it for the show. Well, I had edited, but I grabbed the wrong file. And when I do release these files, though, to the donors, I'm not going to edit them. I will try to, you know, adjust the audio to make it sound a little bit better, but I will not edit anything, so there will be a little bit of language on some of those, just to give you a fair heads up. I do also want to remind you, I do have a guest appearance coming on DAF Radio. Go to dafradio.net. We did a panel talking about this Disney Afternoon. He said he was coming close to releasing it, but I have not seen it release on his feed yet. So I'm not sure what the holdup is, but I'm going to just keep letting you know that it's coming as we get approaching the time that he said it was definitely coming. So definitely go and listen to his show. Go subscribe. It's a really great show. I think you will enjoy it, especially if you're a fan of the Disney Afternoon. But that covers at least all of the little bits and pieces that we need to cover at the beginning of our show. And so there's nothing else to do but to get right away with some very interesting Disney movie park. Well, let's start with park news. How about that?
This is Gary Gnu, and the No Gnu's is Good Gnu's Show, the only TV Gnu's program guaranteed to contain no Gnu's whatsoever.
Neverland News from the Disney Parks.
Okay, I don't have a whole lot of news to share this week, but there was a couple of interesting things. Disney's California Adventure has opened the new Smoke Jumpers Grill as a quick-service food location in Grizzly Peak. This, of course, is in Disney's California Adventure, as I mentioned, and it is the first phase of a new airfield addition, and it is meant to honor those who fight forest fires in California. I figure this is a pretty good tie-in with Plains Fire and Rescue. Now, I haven't gotten to see any of the decor or anything. I have not been there. If you are planning to have a trip to Disneyland, or if you frequently go, maybe let us know what you think of it. Because I'm thinking, you know, with Plains Fire and Rescue, this seems, you know, kind of a nice little tie-in that they're doing there. I never got to see Plains Fire and Rescue. That's why you didn't hear a review here. It's also why you haven't heard a review of Cinderella. I have not gotten an opportunity to see that yet. Money's a little tight around here, but I do plan on seeing Cinderella. I have some friends that have thought it was good, and I have other friends that thought it was excellent, and I've also heard podcasts that said that they really weren't that, you know, fond of it. But I'm going to go and make my own opinion. But, so yeah, I guess Plains has been enough of a franchise where they thought a good idea to tie it in just a little bit there, I think. Because it does sound vaguely fire and rescue, you know, and they do want to attribute something to those brave firefighters. So that's pretty cool. I like that. Also, Frozen Summer Fun Live returns to Disney's Hollywood Studios June 17th through September 7th. Now, we heard all about this before when they were announcing the coolest summer ever. And, well, it did seem to be a very big hit last summer, so of course it's going to return. And in fact, I don't even remember hearing anything that it left Disney's Hollywood Studios. If it left, somebody let me know, because I think it's just been there the whole time, that they just maybe modified a few things, maybe did a little bit less, kept the stage show, and maybe didn't do as much. I think they might have stopped the ice rink and a few things, but they still had the show continuing, if I'm understanding correctly. I mean, Frozen has just become a permanent presence. But so, of course, they're going to have the Summer Frozen Fun Live because it was popular. And so, you know, here's your second chance, another summer of fun to go out there. And in fact, there's going to be so much Frozen stuff going on that if you're still, you know, still not tired of it, you have so much fun that you can have. So definitely make your trip down to Walt Disney World and go check it out. In fact, I bet you'll find plenty of stuff over in Disneyland at this point. If you're a fan of it, just go check it out. Get your fill of it, because eventually, sooner or later, it's got to stop, right? Right? Maybe? I don't know.
Your attention, please.
Disney Movie News.
Tron 3 is set for production beginning this fall. At least that is what we are hearing. We're hearing production will be in Vancouver, and Garrett Hedlund is attached to return as Sam Flynn, and it is also presumed that Olivia Wilde will also return as Korra. We don't know a whole lot of details about this. There's been a lot of speculation that with Korra having left the digital world and into the real world, that maybe some others will be able to follow into the real world. But I don't know if a Tron movie based completely in the real world and not inside a computer would be that interesting. But maybe it would be. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with this. But we'll just, you know, we'll keep our ears open. I think they're going to keep this pretty secretive and play it close to the chest myself. In some non-Disney news, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, you know, this the sequel to that Michael Bay disaster, it's set to begin filming next month. I don't know if I really have anything more to say about that. It was an okay movie. It was fun, but Michael Bay just has a talent for being able to make these movies, and they don't even have to be good, but they make a lot of money. That's all I want to say about that. I'm not looking forward to that. I love Ninja Turtles. I really, really do. But I think I can skip this movie. In fact, did you hear, speaking of Ninja Turtles, this is a side thing. This isn't really movie news. But in the current comics, they've killed Donatello. Now, of course, it's a comic book. They can find a way for him to come back. But Bebop and Rocksteady broke his shell. And, you know, Peter Laird has not been associated with the Turtles for a long time, but Kevin Eastman has gotten the comic going with another company. And, you know, I haven't been reading any of these current comics and everything, but it's supposed to tie in a little bit better to the original comics they did back in the 80s. And so I guess he's on board with this. I mean, that's kind of sad. But I did post about that. I don't know if I shared it on the Neverland stream. I think I've put it on my personal stream. But I just thought I'd mention that, because it's a sad time for a turtle fan. They're killing turtles off. But anyways, on to some other different news. Okay, so Deadpool. And yes, I know Fox still owns the movie rights, but he is a Marvel character after all, and therefore a Disney character. But there's been some casting news dropping very frequently. Moreno Baccarin, and I'm just going to apologize in advance that I'm going to butcher names. You know, I do it all the time. But she's going to be playing Copycat, or at least a character named Vanessa that is very likely to be Vanessa Carlyle, who is the shapeshifter that is Copycat. I'm not that familiar with a lot of the characters interact with Deadpool. I am not a reader of Deadpool. I know a lot of people are. There's fans. I mean, people are just gaga for Deadpool. And I understand it's very funny. I do have a few issues of it. And yeah, there's a lot of great deal of humor and fun on it. So I am expecting this to be a fun movie. So I'm definitely going to check it out. But I haven't started reading the comics and... you know, budget being what it is, I probably won't anytime soon. But they also have mentioned T.J. Miller will be playing Weasel. Okay, now you should remember T.J. Miller, or at least his voice. He was in Big Hero 6. I cannot think of the character's name, but, you know, he was the guy who had the monster suit in Big Hero 6. You know, blonde hair, long hair, you know, fun character. T.J. Miller can be very funny at times, although a lot of his stand-up and a lot of other things he does, not exactly family-friendly, so be forewarned. But he also, speaking of Michael Bay, he was in that last Transformers movie. I don't want to spoil anything for you, but... he's in it. We'll just say that. But he's going to be playing Weasel. Now, Weasel is a friend slash sidekick slash arms dealer for Deadpool. Other casting news includes Ed Skrein, Gina Carano, and we know that someone is appearing as Colossus, but it won't be Daniel Cudmore. He has said so himself on his own Twitter feed. Now, I still don't know if this is actually going to be connected to the X-Men film franchise. I mean, Ryan Reynolds did indeed. You know, he is playing Deadpool, and yes, he played Deadpool in X-Men Origins Wolverine, but that film version is a complete mess. They really kind of did their own thing. At the beginning of the movie, he was pretty much kind of Deadpool, but they let him go with his face all out there and normal, and then after some weird experimentation, they did this inexplicable thing where he had swords that were fitting into his arms, yet he was still able to bend his arms when the swords were not extended, I guess, and they sealed his mouth, and it was really bad. So I'm hoping they disconnect it from the other films and just maybe let him have an independent thing, because I would hate to see them try to bring that Deadpool back unless they came up with something just brilliant. Maybe with the time string being slightly altered with what we did in Days of Future Past. Maybe they have a way to redo Daredevil. Daredevil is another thing coming on Netflix, but we're talking Deadpool. But maybe they have a way to bring Deadpool back and let him be the ever-loving Merc or the Mouth that everybody loves and not be the ruined version. But that's what we have for movie news. Now, I don't have a bumper made for this, but there is some game news I want to share with you. It has been confirmed that at Star Wars Celebration coming next month, there will be footage of Star Wars Battlefront 3. but I really think they just like teasing everyone. They keep showing little bits of footage at celebrations and conventions and things like that, but so far I don't think we've heard anything about a release date. I haven't. I thought maybe that's what, when they were talking about something coming next month, I thought, oh, maybe a release month date, maybe it's the game's coming out next month, but no, it is just footage going to be shown at Star Wars Celebration, but perhaps we'll learn a release date next month. Now, if you plan on attending Star Wars Celebration and you would like to contribute to the Neverland podcast and let me know some fun things you find in there, remember that voicemail number I gave you, 816-226-6492. Feel free to call in. Also, you can tweet at me. You can send email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. I am going to try, see if I can talk to a local member of the 501st to talk about their experiences at Star Wars Celebration. So hopefully we'll have some report back on that. Other than that, I will have to be searching it out and looking for news myself, which I'm sure you're probably going to do. Oh, and before I forget, John Williams has started recording the score for The Force Awakens, which I know isn't game news, it should have been in the movie news, but I just remembered that it was happening, and I'm excited about it. I'm sure you would be too. So, we look forward to it.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe will be back right after these messages.
Listen up, all you cartoon lovers out there. Make sure to check out the Saturday Morning Rewind podcast to hear exclusive interviews with your favorite cartoon characters from the past and present. If you were a fan of Thundercats, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, or Darkwing Duck, Saturday Morning Rewind is the show for you. Join Tim each month as he interviews the voices behind the characters. Find them on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and online at SaturdayMorningRewind.com.
The kids of the 70s and 80s are all grown up, but the good times of childhood don't have to end.
Our generation can share the fun and fandom of our youth with the next generation and bring the past into the future.
And wrap it all up to make a fantastic present.
Join Jedi Schwa and Chess Bazaar every Monday morning to get your work week started by reminiscing about the past and exploring the future with your earbuds on Techno Retro Dads.
So find us on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, or on TechnoRetroDads.com, part of the Shot Glass Digital Network.
And now back to He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Okay, and now it is clearly time for me to share some more Planet Comic-Con audio. First, I want to share with you some audio from Karen Gillan, known best for playing Amy Pond in Doctor Who. And then follow that, I will play some audio featuring Michael Rooker, Sean Gunn, and hosted by Garrett Wong, basically from Star Trek. He's not really from any sort of a Disney thing, but he's from Star Trek. That's where you're going to know him from. The other two guys, Michael Rooker and Sean Gunn, are so Guardians of the Galaxy panel, but Michael Rooker is also known for being part of Walking Dead and, you know, Days of Thunder, so many different things. Lennox of 1 Mile, a movie he did locally, independent film that I'm actually an extra in, so I've actually been in a movie with Michael Rooker. Sean Gunn, of course, also famous for being in Gilmore Girls, but they're both in Guardians of the Galaxy, playing Yondu, and then, of course, Yondu's right-hand, or Yondu's right-hand man, respectively. Of course, also, you'll know Karen Gillan for playing Nebula. Yes, Gamora's bald blue sister. Now, here's the interesting thing. I have cut this audio down. I have, because Karen Gillan, she was mainly in there talking a lot of Doctor Who, but she did get some Guardians questions, so that's the audio I'm sharing with you. Same with Michael Rooker and Sean Gunn. I focus it around Guardians of the Galaxy with a few extra kind of fun questions. Now, if you want to be able to hear the complete audio, as well as the complete audio of Ming-Na Wen, for those of you who downloaded it later on and didn't accidentally hear the whole thing, this will go to those who are, of course, subscribers or donors on like my Patreon or through PayPal or any way that you can donate to me. Then I will start releasing some of this bonus audio. I am going to release also a video version of Ming-Na Wen's panel. It's not going to be the complete panel, but I will be releasing that on YouTube. I meant to do that last week, but I thought I'd wait until y'all get a chance to download the audio. But that video is coming on our YouTube channel, so make sure you follow up on that. And also I'm going to be releasing some video of the Michael Rooker panel. I do have video of that, I believe. No, wait a second. No, I didn't record that on video, but I did get Carrie Elwes. I didn't get to get any video of Karen Gillan or any photos. It was not allowed, unfortunately. But I do have a video of Carrie Elwes. But yeah, Michael Rooker, I just recorded the audio. I don't believe that I recorded any video now that I think about it, because I didn't really have a good angle at it. I had left the conference room after the Ming-Na Wen, where I had a really great angle, so I got a good video of that. But I left the room to go, walk the floor, do some things. And then I came back for the later panels there with Karen Gillan. And there was a huge crowd for Karen Gillan. She's very popular, of course, from being in Doctor Who. And so it was a very crowded room. So I didn't get a good spot where I could have gotten any good video of that without holding my camera up over my head, really. And same with Michael Rooker. Now, I did, however, get to move my seat around for Carrie Elwes. So when I do post that video up, you will be able to see it. But I do plan, of course, I want to release the audio here on a podcast very soon. So I'll release that audio to you before I release that video. But enough of my babble. Let's get straight to it. I'm going to just roll these right on together. You'll hear the Karen Gillan edited version. And then you'll hear the Michael Rooker, Sean Gunn, which Sean Gunn, by the way, James Gunn's brother. James Gunn directed and has been writing with Guardians of the Galaxy and still also working on a second one. So I guess they frequently like to work together. But also that is hosted, as I said, by Garrett Wong. You'll hear his voice a little bit. In this version that I've edited down, you won't get to hear that one person did come in and say he loves Star Trek Voyager the best. And, Garrett Wong was on Star Trek Voyager. But anyways, enough of my babble. Let's get to it.
To Disney and beyond.
Start off by saying this is the biggest crowd Planet Comic Con has ever assembled in one room.
Really?
First time having such a large crowd. I better say something interesting.
So I'm just gonna start a little bit with the beginning in terms of talking. So
what's this casual Fez doing down here?
Oh, let's just pull a name out of here.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's like a purpose in there.
I want to know the first thing you think about when you see what's all written on that piece of thing. James Gunn.
Oh, genius.
Genius?
Yeah.
Why genius?
I just think what he did it's my favorite Marvel film, and I'm not just saying that because I'm in it. I think that there's just such a strong sense of identity, and it's so funny, best soundtrack. He's so clever.
What do you think about haircuts?
Haircuts?
Like really serious haircuts.
I'm bald.
Well, so what was that experience like when the hair went away?
It was really funny initially. I was like, ha ha ha, I'm completely bald. And then my family were having a field day. They were like, you look like a yob. And then it sort of sunk in the next morning when I woke up and I was like, oh, there's no hair on my pillow. And it was kind of a weird sensation. I felt like it was all delicate, so I couldn't touch it for a good 24 hours. And then I got used to it. And then it was great because the maintenance was really easy. And it was it was easy in the mornings.
But were there unexpected complications from it at all? In terms of having a shaved head and
complications?
So a couple stubble or?
People told me it was going to be itchy, which it wasn't. I just liked it because when you walk out of the shower, you're immediately dry. I really recommend it.
I'm with the back of the fence.
Get in there.
Nebula.
Angry.
Angry, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what did you tap into in terms of anger for that?
I don't have any siblings, but I tried to imagine what it's like if you're always the sibling that's not as good as your sister. The one that doesn't have hair. the one that's not as good at killing people. Even though I don't technically think that's true. So I don't know. I think that can fuel a lot of jealousy and envy and bitterness. So that's where that comes from, I think.
I think these people out here have better questions than I do.
I was just wondering, in Guardians of the Galaxy, I know you worked with Chris Pratt and Michael Rooker. They're all pretty funny guys. What was the funniest instance on set that you saw with them or that you could tell about that was, memorable?
I just remember some person running around with like a raccoon face on them. because obviously Rocket was CGI, but they had to have something there for an eyeline. So they had someone wearing a raccoon mask, I remember. But then like the funniest thing was just seeing Chris Pratt and everybody just do their serious acting opposite this tiny raccoon. So personally I found that hilarious. Thank you.
Hi, I just wanted to ask your opinion on one of the theories that's circulating, that Nebula, after escaping Guardians of the Galaxy, was on her way to Earth, and that's what's going to start the Infinity War in 2018.
Oh, I mean, I support this. I feel like I would love to go for the glove. And get those gems. I think that would be really cool for Nebula, so hopefully.
But I have to say that your work in Guardians of the Galaxy, I didn't even realize it was you at first. I was like, wait, that's cool.
Yeah, no one knew.
That's crazy. You did great on that.
How do you go from your Scottish normal accent to your more evil accent in Nebula? And can you answer that as Nebula?
Wait, what was the Nebula voice again? There's been too many voices. It was kind of like, I remember, it was like, it's really easy to... That's really hard. It's kind of hard to make that transition when I'm not really in it, but I will say that I copied Clint Eastwood. That's where that voice came from. Clint Eastwood impression.
Because you have done a number of voices and accents. I mean, you were on a sketch comedy show before Doctor Who as well. Uh-huh. So do you have a little bit of mimic skills innately? Are you able to kind of do impressions of people?
I'm not good at impressions of people, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like I can do different accents. But like in terms of impressions, they're usually really bad.
That was Nebula.
Nebula is Clint Eastwood / Marilyn Monroe.
Next over here.
It would make it much easier.
Is it true that
oh my god, that is not
on your way back from Disneyland Paris, you threw up over your two older, or younger, sorry, cousins, Ian and Gary.
Yes, it is true that I vomited on, was it, did I vomit on you? No, it was Ian and Gary.
Ladies and gentlemen, Caitlin Blackwood.
I guess they got travel sick facts about me. I know that on Guardians there's a really cool deleted scene between Nebula and Gamora where we're sort of like fighting with each other and talking about our upbringing, and that did not make the final cut of the film, but it's probably on the DVD. So there we are. Thank you.
Hi, first off I want to say that you're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You as Amy. My question was, how do you separate yourself as Karen to a character you do?
Well, I mean, just any character?
Yeah.
I don't know, I guess. It's not something I consciously think about, actually. You kind of just play a character and try to create an interesting human being somehow. And inevitably, there's always elements of yourself in the character somewhere. But generally, I like to kind of like remove myself from the way I am naturally, and that's like the thing I love about acting. So I think it's kind of like a more instinctive, natural thing, really. I don't know the answer to that, so I'm still talking. I don't have an answer.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Michael, dangerous character over here.
I was wondering if you like to be, if you like to act a bad guy or a good guy better.
Is the question, like to be a bad guy or a good guy?
Bad guy or a good guy better.
Oh. I, at the moment, enjoy playing the bad guy. Because it's kind of fun to explore the dark side. And you get to do cool sort of like mute things. I don't know. What would you prefer? Good or bad?
Bad guy, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
About us.
We're like
that. Ah.
Over here.
Hi, it's really nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
I really like your boots, by the way.
Thanks,
like,
Top Shop.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that actually. I was just wondering what it was like to go from filming a TV show, that being Doctor Who, to filming Guardians of the Galaxy, which is obviously like this huge movie. It was quite intimidating going on to like a huge scale film because I'd never done one before that, so I was like, what's it going to be like? And then when I got on set, it was spaceships, and I was like, I know a thing or two about this. I'm pretty at home with this. The only difference really was that it was like 20 times bigger because they just have like a huge budget. But other than that, it was kind of the same. I felt weirdly at home with all the aliens. Weird technology, it was cool.
All right, I think that is all the time we have for now. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a big hand for Karen Gillan.
This is The Real Brian with ProfitCast, and you are listening to Jeremy. It's the Neverland Podcast.
I think it would be rude of you not to use slanderous language in my place of business, Luke, because let me tell you, it is only out of the kindness of my heart that I am not suing the pants off it.
High-end community is... The high-end community is... It's a... The high-end community is of any type. I cannot possibly betray the confidentiality of my buyers.
I am not Michael Rooker or Shotgun, but I am Garrett Wong from Star Trek Voyager.
He's going to start to get angry and snarling and throwing things. We don't want to be so. I got to include.
I've been placed on meds and I'm feeling pretty cool.
Oh, that's good. Okay, that's good. So we can have a few of those. Thank you.
I'll be perfectly honest. When I watched Guardians of the Galaxy, watching Michael Rooker, I kept having Merle Dixon in my head. And I kept thinking, he's going to kill everyone right now. Oh my God. Okay, we're going to alternate. So we'll have your question, sir.
This is for Ms. Rooker. I was wondering if I could ask you a question and you could interrupt me like you did with the
broker.
Sorry.
a huge fan of Guardians of the Galaxy, and I was wanting to ask a question. It was sort of a two-parter. Has there ever been a scene where you have to be serious, but you just couldn't be serious?
Almost every scene that I've ever done.
Yeah, for me, it was easy because I was given a license at the beginning that Kragman actually finds Yondu funny, which I know is sometimes going to be hard, but
where are you going with this?
So that when I had to laugh, I could laugh in character. It was always cool. It could always be sort of incorporated into the scene. I didn't have to feel like I was breaking out of the action, you know?
And I was also wondering, who was your favorite person to, like, act with, like, Chris Pratt or any of the other people in the cast, like?
Well, I can tell you my least favorite. it was a really cool group of people. I mean, honestly, it really was. Yeah. You can pick one more than the other. I always like to give a shout-out to Dave Bautista because he's such a nice, sweet man, and he worked so hard for that role, and it's worked so hard to get it. So I always like to give him a shout out to him. But honestly, I wouldn't send anybody out. Everybody was really cool.
I agree.
Are you dressed as Kenny from South Park? Okay.
Awesome. Hey, Joe, Kenny!
Okay.
I know you're Yondu and Kraglin, but was there any other Marvel characters that you auditioned for and you really wanted to play other than Yondu and Kraglin?
No, I mean, no, because Yondu and Kraglin were essentially written for, I mean, obviously they're parts of Yondu, particularly part of the Marvel Universe, but he was written with Rooker in mind, you know, and so I think that was always the way it was going. And I'm certainly grateful to be any small piece of the MCU, so it doesn't matter to me, you know. I don't think so. I think we were always what we are.
We were exactly what we were and are.
Fortunately for me, unfortunately for you.
You were the hardest working actor on that set. He did all of Rocket. I mean, he did all of Rocket. He was on his knees scurrying around like a raccoon for all the other actors, saying all the lines. And then he had to do his own lines, too. He had to, you know, he worked every single day, right?
I've been trying to get to be called the new hardest working man in show business after James Brown.
Come on, guys! We're not working right
now.
I'm
so similar to James Brown in so many ways. But no, it's not really sticking.
Yeah, Karen Miller, last panel, said that there was a guy running around with a raccoon mask. Was that you? On set?
Whenever, in a raccoon like, mask? Pratt.
Yeah, she said there was like a guy.
He did not even need a mask. Just to believe that he was a raccoon. That's called acting. I thought he was a raccoon. Who's the raccoon in there with the other actors?
Did she get paid double for Rocket on
no.
set?
Too?
Okay, just checking. Yes.
Hello. I saw your panel in Tulsa, Oklahoma in October, and I just want to introduce myself like a guy did there. Hi, I'm Gator.
He doesn't remember where we had dinner last night. That's
great. But, my
question... I was in Tulsa.
Someone earlier stole my thunder with the scene with the broker. I was just curious how much of that was improvised and how much of that was actually scripted, because it kills me every time I see it.
Well, it was both. It was improvised and it was scripted, and once you do the script, you usually have a little leeway to open up and play with it a little bit, and that's what we did.
Yeah. Mostly, you know, you kind of stick to the script to begin with, and then if there are things we want to play with, we can. And a lot of times, actually, a lot of the improvised lines will be coming from my brother from behind the camera. So
he was back there. He had had beans the night before. So he was talking on his finger.
Classy. Thank you. Over here.
Hi. I like a Rickard shotgun. Michael, I saw you when you were here a couple years ago for the Walking Dead panel, and you were awesome. But I have to ask, what's more fun, fighting zombies or fighting aliens?
I love fighting, period, so it doesn't matter to me if I'm fighting LA aliens or zombies or
like
real people.
Too.
Directors, producers, I don't care. anything and everything except some other actors. Please, no.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Young man.
Hi. I was wondering, where do you kind of want to see your character be for the Guardians of the Galaxy sequel?
Good question.
I mean, first of all, I'm privileged to feel privileged to be in the sequel, because I don't, you know, you never know exactly where things are going. But I'm not sure how to answer that question.
You go. You know what? You know where you saw the first one? Yeah, of course you did, and you liked. What you saw in the...
What if he was like, no, I haven't seen it. I'm just wondering. But...
Yandu,
I don't even know who you people are. I walked in from the...
Yeah, there's a cross-dresser in the second one.
I'll be happy. Just as long as Yandu gets killed, I'll be happy.
We have no idea. It doesn't matter what we think. Because whatever we think and however we see the role, they write it completely opposite anyway. So it doesn't matter. Good question, though. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Over here, young lady.
Okay, well, I kind of have two questions. My first one is, how did you guys react? What were your emotions when you, like, watched the final movie?
I was surprised that I was forced to pay to get it. For the popcorn. Popcorn's worth 2 cents. Okay, it's a big thing. You pay what? $15. Anyway, what was your question?
Just sit there and
go ahead, answer
and
my
look
question.
You sit there and look pretty. It was really wild for me, mostly because of Rocket. You know, and I had a sense for a lot of what the movie was going to look like. I'd seen some dailies and stuff like that, and so I had a sense for some of it. But to see the whole piece was really really excellent. And then to see Rocket come to life, because there were so many different people who were involved in making Rocket, you know, feel like a real character. It's become a real character.
As well as Groot. I mean, when we're there on set, actually working.
Yeah.
You know, there's a guy that's fairly average size, maybe 5'11"-ish.
Yeah.
But you can't look at his face. You got to look at the Groot face that is on his head and shoulders.
He's wearing a Groot helmet.
Over his
really,
so it's real
it
Groot
goes
face
off,
up
and then
here.
It's got a big Groot face on the top.
Anyway, so that's how we did Groot. It was tough. It was a little bit.
Yeah, that was my favorite thing, was seeing the characters, the Groot Rocket. Yeah.
Thank you. Over here. Oh, wait, did you have a second one? Or are you done? Okay.
My second question was, what was it like to sort of film/work with those aliens?
They were real.
It was horrifying.
They kept trying to kidnap us and probe us.
As a child.
She got to know how aliens behave.
Nightmares because of Michael Rooker, please. Pint-sized doctor, too late. Pint-sized doctor, what's up?
Do you think that Yondu and the Ravengers will be villains, or with the Guardians in the next movie?
I don't, you know what, that's a good question, and,
you know how at the end of the movie they say something good, something bad, a little bit of both? I think the Ravagers are a little bit of both.
Damn, there's your answer. Something good, something bad, a little bit of both.
Because they gotta get by, they gotta make their, they gotta make ends meet and get by in the world, but I think sometimes, they're in that gray area between good and bad.
Well, the Ravagers, you know, if I like your hat, I'm gonna take it. That's a Ravager's attitude.
Yeah, but he wants the hat, so.
I want the hat, I want your spaceship. It's mine. You know, that's how we survive in that galaxy, in that universe.
The aliens, you were saying how they were scary and whatever, and how come you wanted to steal from them?
Say it one more time, sorry.
You were saying that the aliens were scary and everything. Why did you want to steal the orb from them? If I were scared of them.
Because it was my orb! It's my idea to get that damn orb in the first place. Star-Lord went off on his high horse and took it before me.
So in the sequel, the Ravagers will be pronounced the French pronunciation, the Ravager.
Love Guardians of the Galaxy. Lego Movie was probably not the biggest snub this year. It was Guardians of the Galaxy. I had a question for Michael. Did you use a stunt whistler? Is that all you? What's that?
No.
No? And in real life, if you control anything with whistling.
I can control a lot of things with whistling.
He's got a question for you.
Children, Rooker. Children.
Question, young man? He's shy. He wants to know what it was like to fly a spaceship. Oh.
That was really cool. You flew too, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It's the most, it's as fun as it looks.
We really flew. I believe you. I believe you. Jeez, are you part of the club Asians from Earl?
I am the charter member of Agents for Man. I started that club.
It was the most awesome vehicle I have ever. Harnessing the power of a spaceship is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
And they're fast. But safe. And you gotta have all you gotta be strapped in, you gotta wear your safety belt, of course. And you can't be drinking before you drive. How much is it?
So my question is, did anyone get emotional during set?
I cry all the time, yeah. We do.
That's kind of true. I will say on Guardians, there are a couple moments when I really legitimately got, the end of the, inside the cocoon, just even watching that being filmed, I got choked up doing that. And I also was choked up when I was doing Rocket at the end, when Drax pets Rocket, because you're right there, and you're in it, and I'm there, we're in the middle of the scene, and so, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's really good. I'll just be an actor.
We get emotional. We can cry. I can ride a horse. Yeah, I ride motorcycles. Yeah. Actors can do almost anything.
Hi, my brother's a big fan of all three of you, and he can't be here today because he had all F's on his report card. I was wondering.
That's hard to do, I'm telling you. Straight F?
Straight F.
That's hard to do.
Like a C minus, two D's, and three F's.
You got a high F.
Straight F's. That's genius.
I'm more of the best.
He should have gotten a free pass.
I was wondering if I could take a video of you guys telling him what money's missing.
No, we don't have time for that.
No.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Love you, but no.
Aww. Hey, look, come to my table later. I'll say something to him. Okay?
All right. Come to the table later. Here,
we'll get it. We'll get it. Yeah, I was just going to say, Mr. Gunn, you deliver my favorite line from the Guardians movie when you say, "Welcome home, Peter." I was going to ask you, for both of you, in relation to Guardians of the Galaxy, who would win between Yondu and all the Ravagers versus the Merle and Daryl team-up?
When are they on bikes?
Okay.
Look, I like walking.
Dangerous!
The Southerners are on bikes, the Yondu
Changer
and his boys have some space.
Wait a minute.
I like Walking Dead. It's a great show. I love watching it. But I'm a little offended by that question. The Ravagers would waste those people.
Instantly. They would waste them. Instantly.
We wouldn't even have to land our crafts. We just straight there. We just go by and blow them up.
Yeah. I'll take that. Thank you guys very much.
Okay. No contest.
All I'd have to do is whistle.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is also inspired by Kirk's many jobs. I was wondering, what is the craziest or weirdest job that you both have ever had in real life?
You have a lot of jobs, right?
I had a real job in a long time.
I don't even know what a real job is like anymore.
I used to be a busboy in the outdoor cafe at the Art Institute of Chicago. And it was such a weird place to work because the restaurant, nobody cared about whether or not the restaurant did well, because it was just there for the museum. And so it was really a bunch of super lazy stoners hanging out. That was a very strange job, so I'm gonna pick that one. You were like a professional squirrel taxidermist.
real job, huh?
Or like early acting role, just anything weird that you've ever done.
I was a lifeguard. I was a lifeguard.
Can you imagine you're drowning and you look up and it's water?
Trying to give you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He's like, he's dead anyway.
My favorite job was when I was about, I think I was 15, and I was having some issues with being a little spontaneously combustible. And so they gave me this job, and I was told, they took me into this gym, and they trained me how to replace glass and windows and stuff. And there was a couple of panes that were missing and cracked. And I said, they just told me to go and fix the glass in this gymnasium. But when I started looking, there was broken and cracked glass all the way up, like double the size of this and across the skylight. And by the time they came back and got me about 9 hours later, I had already replaced all the glass up and almost halfway across. By the time they came and got me, I was about 45 feet in the air, hanging onto a pipe, fixing the glass. And they were like, no, come down. But that was I always remembered that, and that was one of my favorite jobs ever in life. And I was just left alone, and I had a task to do, and it was awesome. Turned my life around.
What do you think Yondu and Merle would do after getting drunk at a bar?
Well, I think Merle would be really good at getting the olives out of the little jar. And Yondu would be really kick-ass with the dark game. True, right?
Dark champion.
We need to have a look at it. Thank you. All right. be done standing up. Yeah. Okay, lay the ground on it.
Limit it to yes or no or short answers or you will be dismissed.
All right, your question has to be a question. Do not paraphrase anything. Ask the question right away and expect your answer right away. You ready? And do it fast. Be ready, right behind it. Ready? Okay, you go first.
Did you like the soundtrack from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes.
Yes.
My daughter Leslie is a super fan of Guardians of the Galaxy, and she's too shy to come here. Can you just say hi to her, please?
You're no. Really short.
I know. You too.
When you open the orb at the end of the movie, did you know what was in it?
Yes.
Michael, is it easy to transition from being such a cool, nice person to being such an ass as well?
Not at all.
There's no transition involved, man.
Kirk did a video where, the black and white video where he broke dance, and then you did a coming to life story.
Witchy!
Sorry, which one did you like best?
The film by Kirk, the dancing and film by Kirk.
Next. What did you like about Guardians of the Galaxy?
The money.
Question is for Michael. First of all, I'm a huge Cliffhanger fan, old school. Have you ever or would you ever do a voiceover for animation?
I have and I do.
Next.
Go on, baby. This is for Sean.
You're Ethan.
Yes.
Hi.
Favorite part of the Lego movie?
Oh my goodness. My favorite part of the Lego movie was seeing my good friend Chris Pratt succeed so well and do such a great job.
Bring you back. Go. No, do it. It's more uncomfortable having to walk around, squatting around all day doing Rocket, or spending, you know, 4 or 5, 6 hours doing the Yondu makeup.
I did one and he did the other. How would we know that?
Did Bradley Cooper take credit for your work?
No.
You to say hi to my dad.
No!
Come to the table. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Two lovely guys.
Well, once again, I want to thank you for taking the time to download and listen to the Neverland Podcast. I appreciate you every week taking the time to listen. I love being able to share this audio with you or share my time with you, and I love that you're actually taking the time to listen, and I love when I get your feedback to hear from you over email or on Twitter or on Facebook or our voicemail line. And I also do enjoy the reviews on iTunes or Stitcher or Blueberry, whatever you're listening on, make sure you give me a review so I know how you're enjoying the show or how maybe you're not enjoying the show if there's something you think I can improve. But either way, make sure you keep that pixie in your pocket. That pixie, of course, is that good attitude, that young at heart attitude. You have to keep that in your pocket so you can keep that focused attitude, because life's going to come at you hard and fast. But if you have the right attitude, you can get through it. And also, you have to keep that pixie in your pocket so you can share pixie dust with other people. Just go out and love on somebody this week, all right? That is my assignment to you. But until we see each other next week, God bless. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast. Please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blueberry. We love to hear from you on twitter.com/neverlandpcast and facebook.com/neverlandpodcast. Leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492. And send email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Join us next week and we'll once again go to Disney and beyond. The Neverland Podcast is copyright Blue Band Productions and all original content belongs to the same. Other content is copyright of their respective creators and is used under Creative Commons license.
Good night, Neverland!
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.